My name's Joanna Kerr, and I'm thrilled to be here. I'm connecting with some old friends. I used to be with AWID, and I'm wearing a different hat. 5 weeks ago, I started with Oxfam Canada. But I was in Monkey Valley 5 years ago for the first AWID Young Feminist meeting. So it's with similar energy, but just being here this afternoon, it's been pretty obvious at how exciting and energizing this work has been. And I can't believe what you're going to be taking into the AWID Forum. It's truly incredible. I want to just spend a little bit of time to really answer two questions. What is the significance of this event? And really, what is the future in terms of technology and women's rights? But first, I want to say how I'll take a little bit of pride in the fact that Jack and I had a conversation in Pune, India, I don't know, a year and a half ago, said, wouldn't it be great to do something like this before the AWID Forum? And here it is. But at that meeting, she also gave me one of those amazing Take Back the Tech stickers. And so I put it on the bottom of my Macintosh laptop. You should all do that because, you know, 6 months ago, I had to take my Mac in for a little quick repair, and this woman said, oh, I love that sticker on your Mac. And she says, what do you do? I said, I do a lot of international women's rights work. Cool, she said. So I had to go back because my battery had died. It's $150 to replace your battery in your Mac. And she remembered me. She says, it's free for you. Okay? So that sticker could be worth $150, just so you know. But more to the point, I want you to realize that the significance of this meeting. I don't think a meeting like this has ever taken place before, and I hope that APC and her partners will continue to have many, many more of these events. Feminists need to take on technology. And why? Well, there's many reasons. But remember that most of our decision makers out there are actually trying to solve the problems of the world through technology. They are trying to find technological fixes to the problems of the world. But we know that there is no vaccine to prevent the impact of patriarchy. We wish there was, but there is no vaccine to rid ourselves of patriarchy. And there's no machine that can build economic justice. We wish there was, but there isn't. But we also know that when technology is introduced into a society that has inequality, technology actually increases the gaps between rich and poor. Therefore, those of us who are working for social justice, for economic justice, for women's rights, we have to learn how to control and use technology to our means. And there's a wonderful quote by Blaise Pascal that maybe some of you have heard before. Justice and power must be brought together so that whatever is just may be powerful, and whatever is powerful must be just. So this meeting is important because technology is very, very powerful. And what we're trying to do here is trying to make technology just. So that's easier said than done. So how do you do that? So I want to share a little bit about power and power analysis. So you're all heading into a conference for the next 4 days on the power of movements. So there's going to be lots of talk about power and lots of talk about movements and movement building. Do any of you know about the power cube or the three faces of power? Have you ever heard about the three faces of power? Okay. So the three faces of power, it's a very, very useful lens. So there's three faces. There's visible power, there's hidden power, and invisible power. And we need to be able to expose all of these faces of power if we want to transform power. So what is visible power? Well, visible power is the most visible. Those are our leaders, our governments. Those are the governments that are controlling communication rights. Those are the corporations that are driving the media. Those are, those are the ones that make and enforce the rules. So that much of our advocacy actually goes after visible power. Then there's hidden power. So hidden power, those are the ones that define the norms. Those are the ones that delegitimize and invisibilize what we just heard, what's going on in the Arab world around lesbian rights. Or think about English and its hegemony in the internet. That is hidden power, the way that English and knowledge, that more knowledge by English speakers is driving the production of content. It's the religious values that determine how women dress and control women's sexuality. It's how media privileges corporate agendas. So, of course, when the sky is falling because Wall Street collapses, that is our indicator for a financial collapse. But we already knew there is a major economic crisis around the planet, but all of a sudden, because of the way the media reports the collapse of Wall Street, now there's a financial crisis. So this is hidden power, how the media manipulates what we perceive as important and how the agenda gets defined. Invisible power, that's inside us, right? That is how oppression gets socialized. And that's our belief systems that perhaps women shouldn't really control technology, that those techie things are too complicated. Quick, I don't know how to use the PowerPoint. We need to get a man in here. These are the ways that invisible power works. You know, even my own mother, I mean, I'm a lesbian, but even my own mother thinks that my partner is better apt at fixing the computer just because she's taller and comes from another country. It's the ways these things work in our families, you know? So, and it really inhibits, invisible power inhibits our ability to interact, to participate, to know when to speak out. So this meeting really is about going after hidden power and invisible power. We have been working on the socialization and the re-socialization of information and communication. So we've been working on ourselves, but we're also trying to transform the way norms and rules and culture is influenced. We are trying to transform hidden power. And that is extraordinarily significant. And so in any of our advocacy strategies, we need to think about how we can continue to transform hidden and invisible power, because those are the most difficult forms of power to transform. So what about the future? Where are we going? What's the role of technology in the future? Well, this is where I'm a bit scared. I'm a bit scared. Because, again, the role of hidden power, because science, as we know it, has become privatized. And science, the kind of science that is pushing technologies in ways that we could have never imagined before. I'm not going to go into all the significance of nanotechnology and biotechnology and genetic engineering, but just to say there is so much money in our by our governments, no matter where you live in the world, that is being invested in technological advances that will change the way we eat, we breathe, the water we drink, what is important. But let me just take a very, very simple example. Let's take the female condom. Okay, the female condom. That's a technology that has been around for a couple of decades, right? Where has science and where has the money been to invest in the female condom? We know, research proves that the female condom, if users have access to it, that they will use it, it will reduce pregnancy, it will reduce the transmission of HIV. But it is almost ridiculed in the donor community. To come in and talk about the female condom, you will very often get smirks and laughs and all the rest of it. So, of course, you might have heard about microbicides as a preventive method. But it doesn't exist yet. It's not safe yet. We're testing it. But our governments particularly in the North, are putting millions and millions and millions. My government, the Canadian government, has put $320 million into research around microbicides. Great. We need more technologies. But we already have a technology that exists. And we find out that it's Merck, the pharmaceutical company that's behind microbicides, lobbied the Canadian government so effectively to say, female condoms will never be taken up. But this is where we need to invest. So just imagine, that's such a simple, tiny example, but something concrete that we all know. But just imagine all of the ways in which technology is being manipulated and it's being controlled by big pharmaceutical companies and private science. So what do we have to do? So we have to continue with our power analysis, right? So those big companies obviously have power over particular technologies. Something just stopped, if that matters. Maybe it does. But what this meeting is about, just to conclude, is about looking at power, also the power with, the power to, and the power within. Right? So what is the power with? The power with is the kinds of dreams that we have as feminists, right? And we have to hold on to them. So with each other, we can continue to re-envision a new world. And the kinds of work that you've done on your social networking, the videos, the radio, behind all of this are incredible dreams that you all have as feminists, as activists. And that is part of our future. It's also the power to, right? The power to is the capacity and the ability. And so what you've been doing here is building really concrete tools that we all need. I mean, I am so ticked off that I haven't been here for the past 3 days to learn everything that you've been learning. But the analysis, to constantly be talking about the power to change and be bringing in that the most, you know, one of the most significant value into the women's movement. And, of course, the power within. And that's our own self-empowerment. And I'm sure many, many things have happened over the past couple days where you've just, so many lights have gone off, so many aha moments, so many transformations that are happening that, you know, no evaluation strategy will ever be able to incorporate. So I just want to applaud you and just recognize the very, very significant moment and activity and initiative that you have taken part of. You are making history, really. And the amount of creativity and inspiration that you are going to bring into the forum, I guarantee you, will be palpable. And I just want to acknowledge that and thank you very, very much for everything that you've done and everything that you'll do going forward from here.